It's Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Today's broadcast is an excerpt of the Sunday morning service at Lakeview Terrace American Baptist Church in Lakeview Terrace, California, where I was invited to speak and also asked to share my testimony.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The song says, great is your mercy toward me. Your loving kindness, I don't know about you, but every day of my life, his loving kindness. I know you think it was the alarm clock that woke you up this morning, or that other nagging family member that said it's time to get up. But can I tell you that had it not been for the mercies of God, you wouldn't have got up this morning. Your tender mercies, I see day after day after day, forever faithful God has been to me, always providing for me, always providing for me. Great is your mercy. You said, but you don't know what I'm going through. Things are kind of bad, but can I tell you, it could be worse. Great is your mercy. Great is your mercy. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity, for this privilege to come into your presence and to call upon your name. Son of David, have mercy upon our souls. We come before you this morning, God, and we pray you have your way, God. Cover us, Lord. Hallelujah. Breathe fresh upon us, Lord. Wash us with the cleansing of your word. Hallelujah. From the inside out, God, we turn it over to you. Create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit in us, God. Hallelujah. Let us know, God, how precious and privileged it is to be recipients of the glorious mercy and the wonderful grace of a God such as you. God, we thank you and we praise you. Will you be glorified, your name be magnified, your people be edified, and your enemies be terrified. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Great is your mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says that all of heaven bows at the throne of God, and they say one praise, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. I want to join with heaven this morning, and I want to say hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He has been wonderful to me, and I owe him a hallelujah praise. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm gonna say hallelujah anyhow. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you all once again. We definitely give honor to your pastor, Booker, and his wonderful, lovely wife, to all of the pulpit staff, all of the saints. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I'm going to read that same two verses out of the Message Bible, and it says, a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk with orchestra. God, I have heard what our ancestors say about you, and I'm stopped in my tracks, down on my knees. Do among us what you did among them. Work among us as you worked among them. And as you bring judgment, as you surely must, remember mercy. And then in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 23, I'll read that in your hearing. It says, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You may be seated. I do thank God for his mercy and for his grace, for his loving kindness, and for all of his goodness that he has bestowed upon me every day. New mercies I see every day, new mercies I see. Habakkuk was a prophet that prophesied during the time when Judah was about to be judged by God and to be carried away by the Babylonians and destroyed by the Babylonians. And he was okay with the fact that God was going to judge him, but he wasn't okay with the fact that it was going to be at the hands of some evil, unrighteous, ungodly people. So he prayed out, he cried out unto God in chapter 3 with a prayer, and it really was a song that they sung before God. And he said, Lord, I've heard what our ancestors say about you, and I'm stopped in my track. It floored me. I'm down on my knees. Do among us what you did among them. Work amongst us as you worked among them. And as you bring judgment, because we have disobeyed you, so you must judge. I understand that. So when you bring judgment, as you bring judgment, remember mercy. And that's what we want to talk about today. Remember mercy. Remember mercy. Remember mercy. When you all sing that last song, I didn't know you were going to sing too. And then you began singing that last song about great is the mercy of God toward me. I said, Lord, thank you for that confirmation. God speaks to his people through many and various ways. Sometimes you wonder why you don't hear from God, because you have limited God to only him doing a thing a certain way. And then therefore you miss the blessings of God. If you think God can only speak to you from this pulpit on a Sunday morning, you're going to miss a whole bunch of what God has to say. Because on your way to church, he probably was talking to you. When you leave here, he'll probably still be speaking to you. Sometimes you're riding down the street and you read a billboard and you wonder, wow, that's just what I prayed about. Wonder how did they? God is probably talking to you. Somebody calls you on the phone. You haven't talked to them in a long time. They don't know anything about what's going on in your life, and they share something with you. They don't even know God wanted them to share it with you, but it answered something that you had laid before the altar of God. God is talking to you. Sometimes you're outside just enjoying the weather, just enjoying nature. Believe it or not, God is talking to you. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. When I get on the airplane and we begin to ascend into the sky and I see the glory of God in the heavens, God is talking to me. Well, what is he saying? He's telling me how wonderful he is, how awesome and amazing he is. God is talking to me. So don't miss the opportunity to hear the voice of God when he speaks. Habakkuk says, Lord, I have heard of what you have done in our ancestors' lives. In those days, they related the stories, and I like how you bring the children forth, because you're putting in the children the word of God, the stories about the Lord. They would bring their children together, and they would pass on, they were commanded to pass on the stories about their God to their children, because the goal was that there never be a generation that knows not the Lord. So they would pass on the goodness of God and how God could part the Red Sea, and they would make songs out of it. We do the same thing. We make songs out of it, how that God parted the Red Sea, and how that Daniel was in the lion's den, and all of the songs that we sing, we take them from a basis, hopefully, in the scripture, and we make a song out of them. So they did. You read in the book of Psalms, they sang those songs. Those were songs they sing. Who is the Lord? The Lord God, strong and mighty. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. That side of the choir said, lift up your head, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. And this side said, who is the King of glory? And the musicians played nicely under the anointing of the power of God. And they said, the Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. And they would sing the Psalms. And they would rehearse the goodness of God to their children. If you read in Psalms 136, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. And then they sang that. And then they said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. And this side would say, the King of kings. And they would say, for his mercy endureth forever. The one who brought us out of darkness, for his mercy endureth forever. The one who parted the Red Seas, for his mercy endureth forever. The one who brought us through great trials and tribulation, for his mercy endureth forever. The one who knew my name before my mother birthed me, for his mercy endureth forever. The one who can do anything, for his mercy endureth forever. And they would rehearse what God had done in their lives. God forbid if we raise a generation and they don't know what God can do because of what he's done in your life. So Habakkuk said, Lord, I've heard what you did in my ancestors' days. I mean, they rehearsed it to me. They taught it to me. I know all about it. I know how you worked among them. But it is not just good enough to serve the God of Pastor Booker. It is not just good enough to serve the deacon's God. It is not just good enough to serve the praise team or the choir's God. He needs to be my God. He must be my God. I mean, when you're just coming to him, it's okay to pray to the God of Abraham and the God of Moses and the God of Isaac. It's okay to do that when you first come to him. But there comes a time in your life when the God of Moses is not going to get me through my Red Sea. If he is not my God, if I can't call upon him, if I don't know him myself, you got to know him for yourself. And the way that I know him is because I worship him and I get familiar with him. So Habakkuk said, I know what you did for my ancestors. They've told me the story. I know what you did amongst them. They've rehearsed it frequently. But my God, would you do in us what you did in them? Would you work among us like you worked among them? And I came by here this morning to tell you, if God is not strong enough and powerful enough and mighty enough and great enough to work it out in your life, then you've got the wrong God. He brought your pastor through cancer twice. If you watch that and you can't get over a headache or a migraine, you got the wrong God. You have seen him raise people from the point of desolation. And if you can't go to God when you've got a need and a bill that needs to be paid, you've got the wrong God. I wouldn't serve a God that couldn't get me through my dilemma. I wouldn't serve a God that couldn't carry me through my Red Sea. He might not do it like he did it for them, but he needs to work in my life the same as he worked in them. I had been praying this prayer. We had shared this on the radio broadcast. And then about 6 months ago, I went to the doctor for a routine physical. And you do blood work before you go for the physical. And I got in there, and the results were all good almost. I have a female physician, and she said, it looks good, but your iron is low. Well, my iron has always been low. It had gotten worse. I was falling asleep driving home from work. It was getting worse. And so I said, you know what? That's what I was going to tell you about. These iron pills are not doing the trick for me anymore. probably never did do the trick if it was getting worse. She said, yeah, that's correct. Let me send you to a specialist and let's see if she can't do something else to help you out. And so I went to the specialist she referred me to, and we had talked through a couple of options, and we settled on one, and it was going to be an outpatient procedure. She said, but before we do that, I just need to schedule a biopsy. I want to make sure that I'm not treating one thing only to mask something else. I want to make sure we get to the heart of what the issue is. She said, this is routine. It probably is nothing, but I just want to do it just to be safe. So she did the biopsy, and then I'm riding in the car about a week later, and I'm using my cell phone GPS, and I'm going to an unfamiliar location, and I'm just about to reach the exit, and the phone rings, and I don't know how all of your cell phones do, but it blinks out my directions when the phone starts ringing. So I took the call really quick, hoping I could get them off the line. It was an unfamiliar number, so I said, let me get them off the line so I can get back to my directions, and it happened to be the doctor's office, the specialist. And the nurse said that the results are in, and the doctor needs to see you. Well, right about then, I saw the highway exit, and I know I needed to exit. I just didn't know if I needed to go north or south. And that's pretty important. North is the opposite of south, so I want to make sure I get the right one. And so I said, okay, so I'm trying to hurry these people off of the phone because I'm getting ready to miss my exit. And so I said, okay, I can come in. When do you need to see me? It's about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they said, she wants to see you the first thing in the morning, 8 a.m. when we open. And I said, okay, I know where you are because I had been there. They said, no, you need to come to the other office. She will not be in Dublin, Ohio tomorrow. And I said, okay. And so by the time she took long hanging up, I took the wrong exit. So I turn around, get to the next appointment, where I was headed to, and then it dawns on me after I come out of my appointment, it's about 5 o'clock, the office is closed, the doctor's office, and it dawns on me, why is she calling me in for an emergency to give me test results? Because they don't do that if everything is good. They send you a letter or they wait until they see you the next time, but they don't call you in. All that evening, I couldn't call them back because they were already closed. So all that evening I thought about it and I looked just like I look now. I was fine. I'm skiing 4 days a week. I was feeling pretty good other than being a little tired when I'm driving sometime. I was fine. So all that evening I thought, well, what is it this woman is going to say to me? And a thousand things flashed through my mind, but I wasn't afraid because I felt fine. And I didn't tell many people anything because you don't want people to project their fear to you. And let me just tell you, when people confide in you, why don't you take that as an opportunity to encourage them in the Lord? Don't start talking about your grandmother died of that same thing. I don't need to hear that. So I went back to the office the next morning and she said, we found cancer. And I was like, really? I mean, I don't feel cancer. I don't look cancer. I don't see cancer. And she said, we found cancer. And she said, that's really all I can tell you because it's something that is surgically staged, meaning they will have to do surgery to find out how far along it is, what stage it is in, how advanced it has become. And she said, I'm going to refer you to the James Cancer Facility, which is a really large facility there in the Ohio area. And I thought, I am not going to give in. Here's the thing. Every morning at 6 a.m., I pray with a group of people. So the same God that I had prayed to the day before she called me to tell me they found cancer is the same God I got up in the next morning and kept on praying to. The Bible says in Daniel, I believe 6 and 10, it says it like this, when the decree went out from the king, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. And these are the last few words are the most important, as he did aforetime. When they signed the decree and said, no one shall pray to any God but the king, Daniel's response was not to go saying, oh, king, I thought we had it like this. It wasn't to say, king, they duped you. You missed this. It wasn't to get mad and say, king, I'm not going to obey your decree. The Bible says he went back to his house, he kneeled down on his knees, and he prayed as he had always done. So when they gave me the diagnosis, I got up at 6 a.m. the day after, like I had got up at 6 a.m. the day before, and I prayed as I had always done. But that wasn't good enough, because I had read something in 2 Samuel about King David. The Bible says that when he was so excited about God, he began to dance before the Lord. And the Bible says he danced out of his clothes, and his wife got angry. She said, "You have disgraced yourself among the people of Israel." And he got angry with her. He said, "I'm dancing for the Lord. You ain't seen nothing yet." He said, "I'll be even more vile than this." So I got up at 6 a.m. the next morning, but I said, "God, I want to pray harder than I've ever prayed. Because if you are the same God," the Bible said in Acts, "Why are you standing here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, this same Jesus." I said, "God, if you are the same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that stopped up the mouth of the lion, the same God that held the sun still, I'm gonna believe you." The last time I was here, I think I told y'all God is faithful. Now, one thing I gotta let you know is in the book of Hebrews, it tells us about those who believed God for great exploits in the Lord. Some received their dead raised back to life, saw the lion's mouth stopped up, the Red Sea parted. But it also says there were many who died in faith, believing because they had not received the promise of God. And so I want to tell you, this is what I said to him. I said, "God, I believe you because you're the same God. But let me tell the devil something. That if God chooses not to heal me in the way that I think he should, I want you to know I'm going to stand here because God is faithful. And if it's with my last breath, I'm going to die believing and declaring that my God is able. I will not deny him." So I had the surgery on April the 6th, the day after Easter. I told a few folks, I said, I'm not inclined to do the chemo and the radiation. That's what they'll find out after the surgery, what kind of treatment I need. I said, "I'm not inclined to do that." And a few folks said, "You shouldn't say that." I said, "I know I shouldn't, but I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not inclined to do that." There's nothing wrong with it. I just said, "I'm not inclined to do that." So on April the 23rd, I went back for the results of the pathology report to tell me what they found out and what the follow-up treatment would be, what the stage of cancer was, how far it had advanced. And on April 23rd, when I got into the doctor's office, we didn't have a whole bunch to talk about. The pathology report was clean. The cancer was gone. There was no radiation or chemotherapy needed. Hallelujah. 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 So when you sing the song, "Great is your mercy toward me, your loving kindness I see day after day," I mean, I've got to stand up and give him praise. Because let me tell you, it's not because of who I am. I didn't do anything to deserve the goodness of God. He doesn't love me any more than he loves the next person. But if you will believe, if you will put a demand on the power of God, he is the same God. He can do the same thing. But you've got to believe in him. You've got to have confidence and faith in him. And when you trust him, you put a demand on him. You don't believe me? Look at the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she crawled on her hands and knees. She said, "If I could but touch the hem of his garment." She didn't ask him anything. She didn't talk to any disciples. She said, "If I could touch the hem of his garment." That's a demand upon the power of God. The word of God is true. All things are possible if you believe. She believed that if I could touch him, he can heal me. And she crawled on her hands and knees and touched his garment. And he said, "Somebody touch me." because virtue has gone out of me. He wanted everybody to know, you don't have to be one of my 12. You don't have to walk amongst us. If you believe, you come to God in faith believing, and the same God got to do it for you. If you don't believe her, ask the Canaanite woman. She came to Jesus as they were eating, and she said, Master, I need a healing for my daughter. And he said, wait a minute, I can't give the children's bread to the dogs. Healing belongs to the people of God. He said, I can't give the children's bread to a dog. Now, right there, you would have been mad. You would have walked away. You would have been angry with him for calling you a dog. She said, that's okay. I'll be your chihuahua. I'll be your poodle. One thing I know, that if there's healing in the loaf, there is healing in the crumbs. I just want some crumbs to fall from your table. He said, what kind of faith is this? The faith put a demand on the power of God, and she began to see the miraculous. I came by to challenge you today. Won't you believe God? Won't you trust in him? Won't you cry out to him for his mercy? Every morning, new mercies we see. Great is the faithfulness of God. Whatever you would do, I know life is hard. I know life is difficult, but God is greater. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You've got a God that can handle whatever situation you go through. By this I know that God favors me. He does not allow my enemies to triumph over me. I serve a God that's greater than my situation, a God that's bigger than my sickness. The Bible said God has given him a name that's been highly exalted above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You need to proclaim the name of Jesus. David going up against Goliath, they gave him the king's armor. He said, this stuff is too big for me. It doesn't fit me. But there's something I know that works. When I was out tending my father's sheep, a lion came up to attack the sheep, and I called upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord delivered the lion into my hand. He said, there's something I know that works. While I was tending my father's flock, a bear came to attack the sheep, but God, I called on your name, and you gave me the bear with my own two hands. And he said, so now I'm looking at this uncircumcised Philistine that's defying the armies of the Lord. I can't use your armor, King. I don't want your sword, King, but I come in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Great is your mercy toward me. Hallelujah. Great is your mercy toward me. Your loving kindness, I see. Your tender mercies, I see. Always providing. He doesn't provide the way you want, but he always provides for you. I can stand here today and tell you God is a healer, because he's been a healer for me. But you already knew that because he healed your pastor. I can tell you God is a deliverer because he's delivered me. But you already knew that because he delivered you. God is an awesome God. Awesome God. So God, we have done wrong before you. We didn't keep your word when you told us. We didn't acknowledge you in all of our ways. We didn't do what you commanded us to do. We have been lackadaisical about the truth of God. We have not contended for the gospel. We have not upheld the standard of righteousness. So you must judge. But when you judge, God, remember mercy.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.